Well, good morning. You can have a seat, and we are so glad that you're here today. For the last few weeks, we've been looking at the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 and inviting the Holy Spirit to confront us to tear down the walls of fear and pride and conflict that separate and divide us. And I'm Josh Whitehead. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm so privileged that I get the chance to worship with you and just deliver God's word today. And so thank you guys so much for being here and just for asking God to move and work in your life. But I don't know if you realize this, but we can turn walls into windows when we let the light of humility, forgiveness, and reconciliation shine through our relationships. Now, I want to ask you a hard question, and for some of you, you'll get this if you're married, but for others of you, it's just happened in relationships that you have. Have you ever given someone the silent treatment? Oh, you have, I guess. Yeah, so have I. You know, there's no physical wall, and there's no physical window with the silent treatment, but there's definitely an emotional one. And if you're a student here this weekend, what you would call the silent treatment is actually called ghosting. You see, ghosting is when someone cuts off communication without any explanation of what just happened. Literally, for young people, ghosting happens when someone's texting you, and what do? You shut them off. They never know what happened. And you don't believe this, but studies show that when you give someone the cold shoulder, when you practice the silent treatment, it actually hurts their brain the same as an actual physical injury. Dr. Kipling Williams, a psychologist of 20 years, when he was looking into this, the effects of being ignored and how it affects us, he said that using the silent treatment is just a sneaky way to hurt each other. Another relational expert, Dr. Paul Schroth, found that the silent treatment makes people feel distant, and it makes them hard for them to talk openly and connect with the other person. And let's be real. This is a big problem in marriages, and honestly, the most important relationships in our lives. And what's worse, it makes us feel stress that can lead to other health problems that happen in our lives. And sadly, when couples or friends, you guys know this, when they get stuck in this cycle of silence, both of them think, who is the problem? You guys have experienced this as well. The other person is the problem. While the truth is what? Both people are building walls, not windows. Now, you know, a lot of times on the weekends, you guys may not realize this, but we talk about studies, and there's a lot of things that are proven. I have a study and belief on my own that's validated by no one. Do you guys want to hear it? Most silent treatments happen on the way to church. Or at least when you're getting ready for church. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does this happen at anyone else's house? You're making your way to church, somebody says something, we're all supposed to be in the Spirit, led by the Lord, and what happens in that moment? Oh, the silent treatment. Actually, across our campuses, this is awkward right now, but there are couples out there who are in the silent treatment right now, and they don't know what to do. It's like he's talking about us. Was he in the car? He wasn't in the car. How does he know? He knows. Because the reality for most of us is this, is that we're really just saying, Josh, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to bottle up my feelings and work it out even though I'm not calm enough to talk about it? And the reality of it is that when we hit these walls, we think the only option is, right? No option at all. But the reality of it is that the silent treatment is not the same as taking a breather after a big argument. Addressing conflict in a healthy way is about turning a wall, right? A wall into a window, giving each other the opportunity to understand and reconnect. But you see, most people don't use the silent treatment thinking that they're hurting the other person or their relationship. And while confronting your spouse or your friend head on might seem scary and unpredictable, listen, ignoring them is way, way worse. You see, because what we know is this, is that feeling seen and heard is this feeling that is next to being loved. And while being ignored, it makes you feel like you're an outsider looking in. But let's talk about another relationship. You see, if the silent treatment or ghosting someone hurts our relationship with each other, can I ask you another hard question? What do you think the silent treatment or ghosting does in your relationship with God? Let me ask you another hard question. Have you been ghosting God? You see, at Faith Promise, we believe the greatest indicator of whether you are growing spiritually is whether you are spending daily time with God. And up on the screens, you may have seen there's a mention for 7-day start. And if you've been ghosting God, if you feel like that's where you are, we're going to talk about it at the end as well. But right now, there's an opportunity where you can just grab that resource and dive right in to this opportunity for you to grow in your relationship, to really just refresh your relationship with Him. You see, this weekend, some of us have built up walls in our relationships with a friend, in a relationship with our spouse, or honestly, in our relationship with God. But no matter what walls we've built up, God is willing to help us tear them down because He wants us to have right relationship with those around us. Let's pray together. So God, this morning, would You come to us? There's an awkwardness across our campuses right now because many of us have to be honest that we've been ghosting You. God, we've given You the silent treatment. You didn't do something we wanted, and we just wondered if You were really there, if You were really worth following. And so there's an awkwardness right now because there are couples sitting at all of our campuses where someone is giving someone the silent treatment, and both are unwilling to move forward. And so we pray for that. And then, God, there are some here today that we know they don't have a relationship with You. They're ghosting You because they've never met You. So Holy Spirit, would You speak to them right now? So lead us in these moments that we have together. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, I want to welcome all of our campuses. But would you guys specifically help me welcome the men and women who are worshiping at our God Behind Bars locations? Would you give it up for them and just... We believe in you so much, and we're so grateful for each of you and so excited for all that God has for you this weekend as we just wander into His Word and gain understanding about Him. And so let me ask you a question. What would happen if we turn the walls, right, the walls in our relationships into windows of harmony and reconciliation? Just like the silent treatment and the damage it causes, Jesus' teachings about conflict in Matthew 18 is one of the most misunderstood and often misquoted passages in the New Testament. So if you have your Bible or your phone this weekend, and you would, open it up to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look specifically starting with verse 15 and work through the passage through verse 20, and then just kind of dive in together into it. So look at what Jesus says as He's there talking to the people in His day. He says, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector." That's what some of you are doing with your spouses this weekend. Anyway, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, "Truly, I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by My Father
in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them.
Now, if you have your Bible, or if you're taking notes, verse 19 uses a word that's really interesting. It is actually the word that's translated in most translations, the word agree, but the actual Greek word is the word symphoneo. Symphoneo. Does that word sound familiar to you? Right. It's a word that means to make an agreement or to harmonize, and it's clearly where we get the modern word that means symphony, right? Now, whether you like the symphony or not, you know what it is, but most of us, if we're honest, wish that our families look something like this. You know, I'm not sure, but the only family I think that looks like that is Pastor Justin Petrowski, who's on our staff, leads worship. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know they're driving around singing like that, right? And for the rest of us, that's not how it's happening at all, except for the part where one person looks at the other and says, flat, right? The reality of it is, even when conflict happens, though, we don't go silent, we don't roll over, we don't say nothing. That's not what we're supposed to do. And this has been a challenge since the first century when Jesus walked on earth and then after he went to heaven. And we think in the first century that everything was just roses and it was perfect, but it wasn't. One of Jesus's closest followers named Peter, you remember him, we've talked about him in his series. Actually, Jesus said something unique about him. He said, hey, this is Peter, and on you, I'm gonna build the church. And in Galatians chapter 2, we find Peter, and it's so interesting that Peter is hanging out with people called Gentiles. Now, the reality of it is, it sounds really bad, but you and I are Gentiles. A Gentile is just a person who's not Jewish. And the Jewish people kept all of these laws and practices about how they were going to keep themselves inside and outside clean. And Peter, as he had made his way into this community in Antioch, actually finds himself with a bunch of Gentiles who are not practicing these same religious practices. And a crazy thing happens because there's this delegation of people that come from Jerusalem and make their way to Antioch. And Jerusalem was like the center of church life at that time. It's where the religious people would come from. Like if you're from, you know, a small community, there's like one person who's like the religious leader of that community. You know, like they're the person when they speak, everyone listens. And this is what happened when these people who were from Jerusalem with a guy named James were making their way into Antioch. And when they got there, something really crazy happens. Peter begins to act like he doesn't even know who those Gentiles are. He takes a step back. He's like, yeah, I only act this way and do these things just like a good Jew would do. But in essence, all the people had seen him there doing exact the opposite. And Paul, another guy that you've heard of, who actually goes, who actually had made his way into this community, sees what is happening, and he says something really strong in the Bible. You actually, when you read this, you almost wonder, is that really in the Bible? But Paul, realizing what's happening, listen to this. In Galatians, in chapter 2, in verse 11, he says, when Peter came to Antioch, okay, so Peter came to Antioch. Listen to what Paul says. He says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Now, that's hardcore. You know, I'm like, I opposed him to his face. Like, I got in his face about what had happened in Antioch. Listen to this. Because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. That's the Jewish community. The other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy. So look what happens as they get there and Peter's like, oh, I don't really hang out with the Gentiles. Then all of the Jewish people who are there begin to do what he did. And it says, the other Jews joined him in this hypocrisy so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led
astray. Now, there's a word here that you know, and the word hypocrisy, in the Greek, it's a word that is hypokrisis. And it's best understood as putting on a different face or covering up a reality with a mask. And literally, Paul is literally, he's calling out Peter saying, hey, you acted like you were with the Gentiles, that you were going to be with them and that you were going to introduce them. But when the Jewish people showed up, you took a step back. Not only did you take a step back and it impact what I saw, but other people were led astray because of that. And you see, hypocrisy is outward conformity without inner reality. Peter was afraid of what people would think in the religious circles, and even what others that, and to the point that even others were led astray. Think about this. Harmony achieved through hypocrisy builds walls, not windows. Peter didn't realize it, but he was building a wall with people who had made their way into a relationship with God and were following him, that when another group of people came, he began to put up walls. And the reality of this is that Jesus did not call his followers to pretend to get along. He didn't call us to pretend to get along, even in your marriage. He didn't call you to pretend to get along. Jesus didn't call you in your relationship with friends to pretend to get along. Jesus didn't call any of us, right, in our relationship with him to pretend anything. He literally called us to recognize that there is a wall being built, and that instead of saying one thing and doing another, he wants us to open a window. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys about something when I just opened that. I've had this fear that it's going to fall back down and smush my fingers. It almost did that. I didn't quite latch it up good. I'm sorry, aside, but that's just a reality. When you've built up walls of some conflict, right, that they shouldn't have closed a window. You should be doing things that open window. And here's what I've seen, and here's what I've found is this. In most conflict, are you guys listening? In most conflict, all people involved normally own some part of the wrong. And as we say here, that's the truth. And nothing but the truth. So help me, God. In every situation, we want to believe that another person has caused us to do something. But the reality is this. In most situations, all of us have begun to become part of the problem. It's very rare that we can say it's just all the other person's fault. And because of that, and because we think that way, most of us believe that the best way to find harmony is really to either be by ourselves, or if you're married, listen, if you're married, to find someone else. And finding harmony, listen, is impossible when you're all by yourself. Because think about the word symphoneo. It's not a symphony when you're by yourself. It's a solo. And listen, for most of us, if we're just honest, we just drag the things and challenges that we have with us from relationship to relationship, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's in just friends who are around us. And Jesus isn't calling us to live solo, walled off lives, right? He's not calling us to do what most of us do, which is to stare at screens for the rest of our life. He's literally calling us to open windows into the relationships around us. And he gives us a few ways to do that in Matthew chapter 18, that we can find openings for harmony in the relationships that we have around us. And if you'll look back in Matthew chapter 18, I just want to share these with you really quickly. So first off, remember what Jesus says. He says, if your brother or sister or friend or spouse or whoever that they are sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Now, what if the key to unlocking conflict in our relationships happens before we even open our mouth? Now, I have to be honest, and I didn't really write this in the notes because it's kind of hard to write, but for me, I think sometimes creating harmony, in my personal opinion, is it means talking the other person to death to get harmony. Any of you married to somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. That's rude. That's rude. I saw a couple, like, come on, people. Like, really? That's me. And the reality of it is, look at this, is that Jesus actually relates this passage back into the Old Testament. And if you want to go look later in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, it says this. Moses wrote this. It says, do not hate your brother or sister in your heart. Rebuke them frankly so you will not share in their guilt. So in reality, the first thing we have to do is we have to stop. And then if you're taking notes, we have to do this. We have to be open to reconciliation. We have to be open to reconciliation. Here's the thing. If you're not in a humble place or ready to offer forgiveness, wait. The window, it's not open yet. And this isn't the same as the silent treatment, because silent treatment seeks to hurt the other person or create harm. This is about looking for an opening to heal. Now, how do you do this? Well, I know the things to say that I struggle to say, but what you say is this: hey, I'm not ready to talk about this yet. I want to talk to you, but I'm not ready to talk about this yet. I'm not ready to talk about this yet. Hey, let's say it together. I'm not ready to talk about this yet. And in this passage, and in what we see in other passages in Matthew 18 and Matthew chapter 17, is that we truly have to get our heart in a place where we are ready or open to reconciliation. But the second thing is this: we must talk to them one-on-one before involving anyone else. Now listen, that doesn't mean you shouldn't seek wise counsel, because we all should seek wise counsel, right? That's important. But wise counsel is almost never found in large groups of other people, right? Who are not part of the conflict first. But listen to this. Jesus didn't say, go and recruit other people to your side on social media or a podcast or even Twitter, which is now known as X, which I find to be really weird. But anyway, all of these things, right? Jesus didn't say, hey, go get as many people as you can to agree with you. But Jesus keeps on going, and now he's thinking about relationship conflict that happens in the church specifically here. He says, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they even refuse to listen there, treat them as a pagan or a tax collector. The reality is this: if the conflict cannot be resolved between the two of you, then you take another person in relationship. And then if that doesn't work, you can bring in someone else. And again, for the purposes of harmony, not to surround them or to shame them or to put them down. The goal is to restore the relationship, not to win the conflict. Do you get what I'm saying? How many would just say, I would have to be honest to say, sometimes for me, I just want to win the conflict. Whether it's with my spouse or whether it's with a close friend, it's like, hey, I just want to win the conflict. And the reality of it is that the conflict really won't be solved if my heart is to win. And harmony will never be achieved, because we'll just keep going and going and going. But we can turn, remember this from the beginning, we can turn walls into windows when we let the light of harmony shine through our relationships. So I want to take the last few minutes that we have this morning.
And what I'd like to do is I would just kind of have like to have an extended moment where I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. So would you just do that right now across our locations? We just get comfortable for a second. I know we went a long ways in the message, but there are people at every location that right now you would have to say, I've been ghosting God. I've just turned off communication. I know him, but I'm frustrated with him. And I just wanna pray for you. And so I'm gonna ask you to do something bold. Everybody's heads bowed. Nobody's looking around. If you would say, hey, I've been ghosting God and I gotta figure that out, would you just raise your hand where you are across every location? That's right. Thank you for your honesty. I'm gonna pray for you right now, Father, for those who have raised their hand. I pray that they would actually experience from you a Holy Spirit hug, that they recognize that you're not done with them. You revealed yourself as Emmanuel, God with us. You are with them. And I pray that they would not run from you when they leave here today, but they would run to you because you're not done with them. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, hey, I'm gonna ask you to do the hardest thing I've asked you to do this morning. If you're across our campuses and you're involved right now in giving your spouse the silent treatment, no one's looking around, would you just raise your hand? Would you just lift it up and say, hey, that's where we are as a couple? Hey, if you're here this weekend, you can put them down, just our heads bowed in our closet. If you're married, would you just reach over and grab your spouse's hand? Father, right now, I just believe that for many of us, if not all of us, we've been guilty of doing exactly what we know we shouldn't do, which is ghosting the person that we love the most, giving them the silent treatment. That's not what you called us to. We know it, but gosh, we want to be right sometimes. And so would you forgive us? Would you right now, through hands being connected, would you do the supernatural work again of knitting hearts together, of bringing reconciliation and forgiveness and harmony? We can't do it on our own. And we're not going to bring the baggage from something that we're not willing to change into a relationship with someone else. We're committed to each other. And then last, if you're here today, just our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and you would say, hey, Josh, I hear what you're saying, but I have never begun a relationship with God. I've been ghosting him my whole life because I never recognized that he wanted a relationship with me. And what's great is today you can tell him you want a relationship with him. And literally all that you have to do is pray a simple prayer. And at Faith Promise, we say no one prays alone. And just repeat a prayer, something like this. Say, dear Jesus, I've been ghosting you. I'm a sinner. I need you. Forgive me. I want to live for you for my whole life. And hey, if you just, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, would you raise your hand up? Our team just wants to put a card in your hand so that you can take steps in your relationship with him, because listen, no matter what you've done, God doesn't want to be ghosted by you. And so right now, we're just going to take a minute to pray. And as we do that, then we're going to transition and worship one last time. But let's pray together. So God, right now, we come to you. Father, there are still people, I just sense it, who don't believe that you actually want them to run to you. I pray that they would run to you. God, there are couples who don't know that there's a way forward. There's a way forward. There are people who have done things that they think you could never forgive, so they're not sure they could begin a relationship with you.
So God, as our prayer teams come forward and as they're down front, whatever help that we need, whatever help, if you need help as a couple, if you need help individually on how to take steps in your relationship with God, whatever it is, God, I pray that we would come and do what you've called us to. So lead us, we love you, in this response. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you join us by standing together?